Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, Love is Blind, Season 6, Episode 2, Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
Now, Episode 2 of 6, because that was the first drop on Love is Blind, Season 6. Man, let's get to the men's quarters where Johnny is going through a really tough game. A tough battle of chess with himself.
He's taking play with yourself to a whole new level. Because, I mean, I just thought that was interesting. I've played chess, and you know, but the way he's doing it and talking, I thought that was hilarious. But that just goes to show how funny Johnny is. And then obviously Matthew being all weird. I can't wait for the reunion to hear what the guys all think about Matthew. There has to be some stories.
Has to be, because Jeremy and Trevor just having fun at his expense. When he's walking up while he's there, to the point he just like gets up and, all right, I'm going to just leave you guys alone. And I get it, because these guys are acting like frat boys. Like, you know, I don't get time for this. I got a woman to go get.
This is somebody jumping in my lap. I'm not here for you. So I don't blame Matthew for getting a little pissed about that. And then, of course, the guys start getting a little chatty, sharing who their top choice is. I mean, Trevor immediately all in on Chelsea. Mm-hmm. And then Jeremy's top two are Laura and Sarah Ann.
Now, speaking of Laura and Jeremy, we get to see them on a date. And as soon as she walks in, she's like, who's this, Sarah? And then she's like, no. And hey, Laura, I'm just playing. And he plays it off pretty smoothly.
He tried to play it off pretty smoothly, but I was like, no, dude, you messed up. You
I mean, we knew he messed up, but I think he fooled her.
Yeah. But, you know, that's what happens. Guys that, in his words, fuck with Hawaiian shirts, they do stuff like that.
But, you know, they bond on their OCD-ness and not wanting dishes in the sink overnight. And I think that's where you get to see these two kind of get a little something together here, right?
Yep, it is. And this is where I started to like Jeremy, because you've been to my house. I'm the same way. Dishes need to be out of the sink. The house needs to look immaculate. I'm like, okay, Jeremy, you and I are aligned. And Laura, all three of us, we keep our houses the same way. And I'm like, okay, I like people like that.
And you all wear Hawaiian shirts.
I don't do that part. Or was it Hurley? I don't wear a lot of Hurleys.
Yeah. I like the Hurleys, though. I didn't even know that's what they're called. I'm just like, I like that shirt. Now, Laura, the one thing that she did admit was that she was jealous. She admitted to some of the girls that she was jealous when Jeremy called her the wrong name. Because like, obviously, he's thinking about her. Well, apparently, he really was, because he went on a date with her next. And that her is Sarah Ann.
You know, and he admitted it to Sarah Ann. He called her by someone else's name. So
he called someone else her name.
Yeah, her name. So I thought that, I mean, and I don't blame Laura for being jealous about that. I would be too. But oops, it happened. But also, you're in an environment where you're dating multiple people from pod to pod. It's easy to make that type of mistake. So right. I think he should get a pass. As long as he doesn't do it again. He should get a pass.
What'd you think of him asking about the living arrangements? Because it felt like a sort of mini flex, then pull back at a flex like, hey, look at my Ferrari. Oh, it's a rental, by the way.
I thought it was a good question to ask because it is valid. And I like his thought process, because when he goes, I have a 4-bedroom house. I was like, wow, Jeremy, so do I. I'm thinking that we got these things in common. And she's like, well, I'm renting, so I guess I'm moving into your place. He goes, well, actually, I'm renting it. I sold my home. So I do think he flexed there to be like, look, I sold my home, so I've been a homeowner. But I like his logic that he wants to get married and then find a home together. So that way someone isn't moving into someone else's house. And I think that's smart.
It is. And it's a great philosophy. I always like that kind. And therefore, you don't have a coming and changing your house. You feel some type of way, your favorite saying. Instead, you just feel like, okay, let's choose this place together and let's build it together. I love it.
Right.
Then we're back in the women's quarters, and AD is, I'm still mad at her, man, because she heard at the end of the last episode, right? She heard Amber talking about what Matthew said. She didn't say anything then. You said nothing wrong with that. But now she's talking to Alejandra, and she's telling her that Matthew said the same things to her that he said to Amber. How is she not wrong for not going to talk to Amber about this?
Because maybe she doesn't have a close bond with Amber, but she does with Alejandra. So that's her ladies' lounge partner that she can share and open up to. Because if you watch the way the ladies kind of click together, you start to see them. And every time we've done Married at First Sight, you see the same clicks of people talking to each other.
This is Love is Blind.
So I'm thinking that, yeah, I'm sorry, Love is Blind.
Too many reality shows.
It's a blur. After this weekend, it's a blur. But the ladies always kind of click together. So I think maybe that's just her buddy. And she's just venting, someone that she can confide into.
Did you notice, though, after all of this, she's now reconsidering Clay and she's ready to try and fix him because at least he's honest about the BS he's putting her through?
Yeah, well, and that's just it. If you other ladies are saying, yeah, he admitted that he's not a good person. Okay, that's all the information that you need right there. But she claims that she's Captain Fix-A-Ho. So she thinks she can make it better. Go for it. Here's what's funny. What's interesting about her dynamic with Clay is like all the guys she normally dates, and it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. So why are you going to this experiment to go after the same type of person you date outside of this experiment?
And the interesting thing is that she can identify that he is the same kind of person, and she hasn't even seen him yet.
Right. But she's interested.
So of course she is.
We shall see. But now she has a meeting with Matthew next. So let's see if there's any pulsing that happens in this date.
I think that pulse is dead. Because at least she confronted Matthew from the very beginning about the conversation. Like, hey, look, I heard some things. And he immediately knew who she was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Amber. And she's like, yeah, or what we call white Amber. And then black Amber Desiree. And he said what he said to AD is not what he said to Amber. And we never see footage of him talking to Amber except when they first met. But what I want to find out is, since everything is recorded, because he even calls it out. He says, I didn't say the same thing. He goes, and look, we're being recorded, so at least there's proof. So I'm hoping at the reunion they bring a clip of him saying it to Amber and also saying it to AD, and then go to Matthew and be like, hey, okay, serial killer. What's up here? Well, here's proof.
His actual part of saying he didn't say the same thing was, well, I said this about your mom and about telling my mom about you. I didn't tell her that. That's the one thing, because that's the only thing she didn't say. Everything else, she said almost verbatim what we heard him say to AD. Amber said that he told her. So there's no question he said the same thing. He was like, oh, audible, let's add this line.
Yeah, add a little something extra to it to make it different. But as we always say, let's check tape.
Show us. Check the tape.
Check the tape. Show me. And so Matthew's telling her that, you know, he was ready to leave with her last night. And of course, he said the exact same thing to Amber, white Amber. And so now he says, I'm going to make my decision by tomorrow. And I'm like, this dude's just running game.
Yeah, but he also said that if he had to make a decision today, he would choose AD. But I'm going to make a decision tomorrow so I can unchoose you by then. Okay. So AD is on to her next date, this time with Clay. And he comes in hot, apologizing for their last date. Because if you remember, episode one, he's like, it doesn't matter how good our emotional connection is. I need to know how you look because I need to be super turned on when we meet walking down that walkway as we approach, come out of the arches. And he knew he came in. He was a little offensive there. So he came in and apologized. Good?
Good. Good start, because you left a bad taste in her mouth from that experience. Mm-hmm. And so now the way things are going with Matthew, this is your time to try to turn it around. You know, then he starts to open up more, say, I was a nerd in the past and need someone to believe in him. I'm getting really weird, jealous, creepy vibes from that. You know, if that's your things, I need you to believe in me. I need you to pretty much hype me up and do all this stuff.
Right.
Then if you start liking someone else, now I'm going to have a problem with it. And then we see that once he gets mad, when he finds out that AD is also connecting with Matthew, and
first we see the jealousy just when he asks her, does she have a connection? And once she says yes, doesn't even say who it is yet, he gets jealous immediately. So it's not even about Matthew yet. He starts pacing. And then when he's like, well, who is it? And she says, Matthew. And he reverse paces.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that dude has some issues. Because now, I think he's not upset the fact that she has another connection. He's upset because he feels like your other connection doesn't compete with me. Because I am Clay. How can you like anything else but this? And that's what he has in his head. And maybe that's what his dating life has been. I don't know. But he really went to a whole extreme. And then as she's trying to open up and explain it, that's when he says, hey, what you just said has nothing to do with me. Yes, it does.
It has everything to do with him, because that's why, again, the fact that she was interested in someone else was an issue for him in the first place.
Yeah.
Then when he finds out who it is, that, because he was like, Matthew?
Yeah.
That's the part. Now, that took him over the edge. He even admitted that his ego was effed up over that news. But it was already a little jolted, and he was a little jealous because she was talking to other people, even though that's the process.
It is. It's a reality dating show. This is the process y'all are supposed to be in. So then he's pretty much pissed and wants to take his G.I. Joes and go back to the men's lounge. But now he's wanting her to say something to validate his feelings or help them know that it's going to be okay and all that type of stuff. And she said, sorry, I can't give you what you needed. And he says, is that all you got? I'm just saying, dude, you were just rude.
Oh, he irritates my wife so much, man. She can't stand him.
Yeah, he's just rude. I'm like, what is your deal? But I think it's because his ego is so inflated and everyone tends to swoon over him that he just can't believe she's going to want someone else or even consider someone else besides him. So,
and you know, his ego is really hurt because when he gets back to the lounge, he's telling Kenneth and Drake, hey, you know, you really got to look out because Matthew, that's a sleeper agent.
Yeah, so... I just think this Clay guy, I'm keeping my eye on him because I just have some concerns, but we'll see how this all plays out. So then Amber gets back into the lounge. I'm sorry, AD gets into the lounge, and she's just talking about how, you know, all these guys are making me cry today. And that's when she starts talking again about Matthew. And now White Amber hears it. And she's just like, excuse me?
Yeah, so she jumps in. She finally gets in there. And, you know, here's the thing, though. If I'm Amber, I feel betrayed. Like, why are you only telling me this now, right? But instead, she goes the other route and apologizes for saying what Matthew said out loud.
But I like how Amber handled this because it was very mature, because they are on a dating show. Why would you share if I know you're going out with the same person? I'm not going to tell you everything that I've had in that date. You know, so to me, that makes sense. And then she thanked her and she said, hey, I'd feel bad that we're in this. She felt like it was almost her fault in the way that she apologized. I just thought it was really nice and sweet. But I agree with AD that she waited until she needed to tell her. But you just don't automatically tell somebody the same person
you date. Tell her. She overheard them.
But then she came in and so AD told her.
Yes, AD's still wrong for that.
If you and me were dating the same person, do you think I would tell you details of the date?
I didn't ask for details, but if you heard that this were the exact same things that were said, then you should say something about it. Because to me, she comes off shady. And it's not even about, if she had never, ever been sitting there in a car, she told her.
Yeah.
She didn't overhear her telling somebody. She was sitting there in a conversation with her, and she sat there shady as hell and didn't say anything. And that's the problem I have.
I got you. And by the way, I would have told you the details of the date just because.
Yeah, they would have been as good as mine, but just like they never were. Because then Amber did what you would have done, which is decided to leave.
Yeah, she exits. She only had one connection. She was like, well, all right, well, this is crazy. I'm out. And I don't blame her.
All right, so now we get to this couple. I call them the old young couple. Brittany and Kenneth.
Why do you call them the old young couple?
Because he's 25, she's 24. They're both happy with each other in the pods. They both seem to be a great match. And they're both wise beyond their years. They're like 35 and 34. They're really not 25 and 24. There's no way.
I was like, why do you call them that? So I think this is our first date that we really get a chance to see these two.
Yeah.
Both are or were in education. I think Brittany was in education, and Keitha's principal, I think, at a middle school.
Middle school.
Yeah. They both had the same religious views. Mm-hmm. And did you see how excited Brittany was when she walked in and realized it was Kenneth on the other side of the wall?
I love that. I love that. And here's the other thing I love. I love that she goes, look, the outside world may see me as an alpha, but she really wants a man to take charge. And he didn't back down from that. He's like, I love this. They are so much in sync. Yeah. It's almost like if he took a step forward in his pod, she'd probably take one back.
Right. And it even goes further. You know, Kenneth lost his mom when he was 12.
Yes.
Brittany lost her father when she was 5. They both dealt with some things. And both their mothers were twins.
Both their mothers. Here's how crazy this is. They both want two kids. Both their mothers were twins. This is, it's like, okay, did y'all set this up? Because this is crazy. And I can understand why in that moment they're like, oh my, which also explains why they're so wise beyond years, right? Losing parents and having to just grow up a lot younger.
Yeah.
But then Brittany's story, I like about her mom, her sister passed, and then she had her on their birthday the next year, so she never spent her birthday alone.
Yeah.
How dope is that?
It's a really touching story. I mean, I was just like, goodness, let me get the tissues, because it's just, it's a touching story, man. It's awesome. Yeah. And so after watching this date in the pod with these two, I'm like, okay, I like
this. You're rooting
for them. I mean, it's just too many good things. How can you not root for them? The only people who are not rooting for them are the people that don't like interracial relationships. That could be the only two people that don't want these two to work out. Is I don't think black people should date white women, and white women need to leave black men alone. Those are the people who don't want these two to make it.
What does he think he is, an NBA player? Next up, we get Chelsea and Jimmy, though, and they both apologize for the last date, because, you know, that one kind of got a little awkward because Jimmy had a rough day on their last date.
He got a lot of bombs dropped on him all at once. So they get a chance to talk about that. And as we see it, like, Chelsea is just this a big ball of feels, all emotional all the time. But I like how Jimmy says, hey, look, I don't care about your divorce and your past marriage. Like, he's still interested. He goes, I'm just happy that you're here. Mm-hmm. So that has to make her feel good.
I like when he said 90% of the noise he hears from her is laughter. That's usually a good sign. And then he thinks it's an even better sign when they start talking about celebrity lookalikes. And she says, what's MGK's I think it's his girlfriend. He goes, Megan Fox? Slow down. She said, the only reason people think this, and she said it before she even said MGK's name, is because I have light eyes and dark hair. That's it.
More like a Craigslist Megan Fox.
Even after he said Megan Fox, she was like, it's only because of the eyes and the hair. That's the only reason. But it didn't matter. All he heard was Megan Fox.
Right. So if I recall the movie Friday, and Smokey is talking to a young lady on the phone, and she says that people say I look like Janet Jackson. And then when she showed up, because what did Smokey have in his head the whole time? Control. He had Janet Jackson. I think that Jimmy, in his mind, when she said that, anytime he thought about Chelsea, he's picturing all of Megan Fox, not just her eyes and hair. So I don't think that she purposely tried to mislead him.
She didn't.
But that is something you probably shouldn't say when you're dating people on the other side of a wall, that they have to go 3 more days to only think about it.
That's why you don't ask that stupid-ass question.
She asked the question. He did.
Okay, so that's why she should have never asked that stupid ass question.
She brought that up. He didn't ask she asked him, what celebrity do you look like? And he said, yeah, people say, I always get, I don't know her name, but think it's, you know, MGK's wife. He's like, Megan Fox? Yeah.
But she also brought that up. But she's, okay. We'll leave it alone. Did we ever hear his? Because I'm thinking Forrest Gump. Okay,
no.
I'm just making sure we didn't miss it.
We didn't hear his, but yeah, we heard hers loud and clear that she looks like Megan Fox.
No, she said eyes and hair, that's it. He just didn't hear that part. And so much so that when he goes on this next date with Jessica, it's like, it's obvious. He's still got Megan Fox on his mind. He is not even thinking about Jessica.
No, he's not. And Jessica's beautiful. But again, this is why I said that Jessica should right up front say I have a kid. Because if Jimmy's not interested, that gives him his out. And then everything is fine. So they start to have this conversation. And I would say they're both opening up a little bit more.
Yes.
Right?
They did.
So he kicks it off first. So he has five siblings. Then his older sister was adopted and starts talking about that. When he says that, Jessica's like, oh, wait a minute. Did you say adopted? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you my story. Mm-hmm. And her story is heavy. You know, her biological parents had bad drug addictions. She was in, her mom kind of had a bad relapse. She was in foster care for a couple years till her dad got out of prison. And then the dad committed suicide. Then she goes back to foster care, was adopted by her foster family. And then luckily they adopted her before she got pregnant, because if she was pregnant, still in foster care, then her daughter Autumn also would have went into the system. So it wound up working out. But as I'm hearing all that, I'm like, that is a lot for any guy to hear. And everybody has something. Everybody's life, everybody's gone through something at some point. But oh my God, that's a lot. In a situation where I have 5 days to decide I want to marry you, that's a lot. If I got to know you over the course of months and I heard that, bit different.
Yeah, well, the thing that's still sticking in his head is 10-year-old kid, and I got Megan Fox on the other side.
Baby Fox. Baby Fox. Yeah.
I'm going with Fox.
Yeah.
Well, Chelsea is on another date. She's out with Trevor, right? And, I mean, Trevor's already in the men's quarter saying he knows who he wants to walk away with.
Right.
And they get in there and you hear they have so many things in common. We already know they have the dogs in common, even though a lot of people saying, yeah, she was kidding about her dog's name. That's, you know, even though his dog's name is Chelsea. But just even the fact that they both like to sleep with the AC on 60 to 65 degrees.
No. Stockier people, right? I mean, I'm a hot sleeper. And so I like to keep it cold. I even have a bed fan that even when it's cold out, I still have air blowing between my sheets to help me stay cool. So don't knock that at all. But then when she's trying to picture him, the way she described him, I'm like, is there a hole in that wall? Like, how did you get that good? Because, you know, I picture a large man, and she goes, with short hair, but, you know, you could have a mullet. And I was just like, what? Yeah. And then come to find out, she's a sucker for a mullet.
And he's like, oh, are you okay mentally? Because who the hell likes a mullet?
Everybody has their type that they like.
I like how he joked about it, though. That was pretty cool. I like these. I actually kind of like these two together.
I want to see these two be together, to be honest. I want to see Gaston, Chelsea, make it happen.
Yeah. In the 60-degree AC unit house. Well, AD is good for TV because she's for the drama in the women's quarters. But she gets in there with Matthew. And as they're in the pot, they're kind of going through it, man. He comes in all shook up, all Elvis Presley.
Well, I want to know, how did Matthew know Amber left?
He probably tried
comes
to go
in,
to,
he comes
he
in and
tried
says
to go on a date with her. Yeah.
You think so? That in the pod, the producers came in and like, hey, Matthew, kind of like last season?
Yeah, Amber, I'm sorry, but Amber's left.
Mm.
What happened?
So he already comes in feeling bad the fact that Amber left, which I thought was weird that if you were ready to leave with AD just the night before,
liar,
why are you so upset? So I know he's full of crap. And I think it leads to some of the things that he said makes me think that it's because he hurt Amber on national TV.
Right.
Could be what it is. But AD is sticking to her guns and says, look, I feel like I would be manipulated a bit and that she was being played with. And then that's when Matthew breaks out the WWTs.
Okay, I didn't like AD doing all the eye rolling and all that stuff because it's like, hold up, you're the one that was melting like butter at this guy's hands. If that's the case, just call. If you really feel like that, just call them out. Hey, you did this, da da da, and walk away. You had it in the date the day before. You didn't have to show up for this date today. You could have been like, nah, I'm not. Don't go in there rolling your eyes. That's all for camera. That's all for show. I'm not buying it. Had he come on heavy with her, she noticed his sniffling, and she's like, are you crying? It sounds like you're really, you know, like this really affected you. Yeah, and that's where it gets even worse.
It does, because, you know, he's saying that, you know, he's hurt because he never felt the way he does for AD. And I'm like, you really meant Amber, not
right.
AD. But that's
exactly.
Fine.
That didn't sound right. Mm-hmm.
But then he gets to this narcissist stuff. You know, I believe, because I didn't know where he was going as he's having this part of the conversation. Right. I was really thinking that he was going to say, hey, well, look, she's gone. I'm all in on you. Mm-hmm. So he says that he feels America likes a good underdog. And he has all of America on his side. I was like, oh, my God. Where are you getting this from? Because before I even started watching the recaps, I already started seeing the name Matthew, and it wasn't positive.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, we've seen that pop up, and it's just kind of... But she rightly says he sounds devastating. He's like, look, man, well, he doesn't admit it, but he's just like, I'm out.
Well, and, you know, he asked her, do you have another connection with somebody? She says yes. So now at this point, he's using that as a reason to say, hey, well, you're a great person. I'm bowing out. And so he walks out the pod. Now, this is where Netflix does that messy thing. He's walking out of the pod, goes back into the men's lounge. And as he's walking out, you hear supposedly his voice saying, I'm going to go get Amber. I'm like, I don't know if he really said that. I think that was just edited crap. What do you think?
I mean, he could have said it. He probably just didn't say it in that moment. He could have been so what are you about to do now? Oh, well, I'm going to go get Amber. They could have been him talking to a producer, and they just did that voiceover. Because when they use the voiceover, it's not like it's a separate voice. It's just their voice in a different setting. And that's why the mics sound different.
That's a good point. I'm not saying you're right. I'm just saying it's a good point.
I know. You never want to say I'm right, even though I'm always right.
You can't handle it.
Amy and Johnny, these two right here, man, I'm actually liking these two. I mean, even though Amy's a 4-month cougar, because she's older than him by, they made such a big deal about her being older than him by 4 months. These two are kind of cute, man. And I know you weren't feeling his whole thing with the Christmas song and the We Three Kings.
No, I wasn't. That's because I don't like Christmas. And so I get his point, but all his just voice. I'm like, why are you don't sometimes singing doesn't flatter. And I think that's what it was. I'm just like, why are you? It's one thing if he just says, you know, hey, we three kings, you know that song? But he went and kicked a whole verse where I was like, fast forward.
And you're right. He's not a great singer. He's not even a good singer. He's probably as terrible a singer as I am, which is why I don't sing. But I get what he was saying. That's the song that gives him chills, and he has reasons for it. Like mine around Christmas time is A Few Good Men, Silver Bells. It doesn't feel like Christmas to me until I hear that song. So I feel him. And it was his way of trying to connect with her because she talked about their tradition and her family was celebrating the Three Kings. So.
I get it. But at the end of the day, he's being open and showing who he is, and I think that's a plus in this experiment because you're trying to get to know each other. Mm-hmm. And then Amy shares more about her personal, you know, with her life. Her brother is on the spectrum and has ADHD, and the dad being a legal guardian, if something happened with her dad, she'd be responsible for her brother. So she wants a partner that's open to that, which, again, I think it's great that they're connecting and they're going deeper on a lot of stuff. Yeah, they're having some fun and being silly, but they're really getting some deep conversations. And then of course the tears come out again for Amy because she's also a big crier.
Yeah. Well, you know, the next time they're on a date, he slips up and says the L word. He says, I love you. And then they both turn into 12-year-old girls.
giddy, like high school love, but it's cute, you know? And you know, Amy said that she loves him too. So it was reciprocated. It wasn't so much, she heard it, oh wow, and then goes to the lounge like she actually was
okay, good point.
She actually responded back, because I would feel weird if I say I love you in the pod and you don't say it back. I'm like,
well, that's nice.
And I just show all my cards. So I like these two. I like their connection.
At this moment, did you think they could be the first engaged couple?
I did. That was my note. I think these two will get engaged first. But apparently they do.
Yeah, because the next time we see them, Johnny got Amy flowers. And I love the fact that the flowers match the dress that she's wearing. And when he says, when she says that, he's like, oh my God, really? You're like, okay, this is, what are we doing here? These two are amazing.
It is. I'm glad that he proposed. I'm glad she said yes. But I made a separate note about this. Mm-hmm. It seems when we do Love is Blind, it's like the couples that get engaged early tend to make it. And I got to do some more research to see how right I am about that. But it seems like they do. And I'm thinking maybe it's because they are narrowing down their choices faster than some of the others, where you're not dealing with a love triangle or and all that stuff and dragging it out for 4 or 5 days. They really get into it. And I feel like that's what Amy and Johnny did. They got to the point and they realized, hey, you're my person. I'm your person. Let's do this.
And we get the cliffhanger in this episode as they're getting ready to meet. And we're excited to see this happen. Here we are, 2 episodes in, already have our first engaged couple. We know who the next one is because, I mean, as we talked about them earlier, we're like, okay, they got to be there too. But these two, super energy from the beginning, the first I love yous, the first drop to the knee, and they'll be the first to meet. And probably as soon as the next episode starts.
Yeah. Yeah, I like when they first meet just to see their eyes, like how excited they are. Because one thing I always look at is how tall is Johnny compared to Amy? Because Amy, just to me, she looks like she's pretty tall. And so I want to know, like, what's the height situation when they get close and personal?
Well, we'll find out next episode. And look, excited for this season so far. I think it's looking good. We see a couple good couples here and we see some drama already unfolding. So we'll get through the rest of these first 6 episodes by Tuesday. So make sure if you haven't already, hit the like button. If you're not subscribed, please subscribe. And then hit the bell for notifications so every time a new episode drops, you can watch it.
Yes, the notifications help because I have friends that text me, when are y'all doing this? I'm like, we already did episode 1. It's on the channel. Go look at it. Like, y'all did? I'm like, yeah, we did. It's up there.
That's what you text them back. Subscribe and hit the bell for notifications. Hey, I'm Yanni Rood.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.